You've heard of the Big Four of thrash, but you haven't heard of the Flannel Five. Yes, the top five bands of grunge, the Flannel Five. Clever, isn't it? Anyways, we're going to rank the Flannel Five here. Stick around on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Hard Rock and Metal Circus Edition. My name's Walker, and this is Texas Ranger.
Why'd I gotta be Texas Ranger?
Okay. This is Walker, and I'm Texas Ranger.
No, I liked it better the first time.
Okay. I'm Walker, and this is Texas Ranger. You're listening to Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. Go to LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. Tons of cool stuff there, including merchandise. Lots of cool shows, different podcasts that we do, Rock and Rants, Guitar Cast. I even do private podcasts. You can't catch those there, and I will tell you guys a little bit more. I've done a couple private podcasts now. They're very cool, where I get to play music and do things that I can't do at large here in the bigger internet world. For instance, I did a show this week on Winger's latest album, Karma, and we talked about that, and very cool, and got some people hanging out with us, so I'll tell you a little bit more about how you can get on that a little bit later, but LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com is our website, so please check back often for all the cool Ludini things that are happening there. You're going to like it. Lou Pappin say, you're going to like it. So anyway, so tonight's topic is the Flannel Five. We're going to be ranking them.
Yes.
So we're going to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And no Hawkins tonight. No Hawk tonight. Hawk is tied up with something else. So there will be no Hawk.
Tied up sounds pretty good, though.
But he is tied up. So we'll have to ask Samantha about that next week. All right, Lily. So before we get into tonight's topic, we always like to just kind of talk about what we did over the week and what happened. And so what... I know you're always out and about seeing cool bands and doing fun stuff. So what is going on in the world of Lily V6 this week?
This week, finally, my concerts are winding down a little bit. On Sunday, I did see Buckcherry, which was amazing. By the way, they played stuff from their new album, War Paint. Played some old stuff. It was really good.
They play Crazy Biatch.
You know what? It was probably the last song. And I left before that because it's not my favorite.
Gotcha.
So I had driven from Rochester to New York to freaking Jurgles to watch the show. So it was, it was a good show though. And it was, I got our signed CD, which is pretty sweet. And then this week, all I have is Stabbing Westward on Thursday. Also, we'll be at Jurgles. I got the VIP, good stuff. So that will be fun. I'll go live for that as well. But it's going to wind down a little bit for me in April. So there's not going to be as many shows. And then back in May, we'll be crazy again. Oh, also Kiss is on Saturday. If anybody cares, I won't be going. But Kiss is going to be at PPG Arena on Saturday.
If you want to go, if you want to go to a show and listen to some great pre-recorded music.
And pay overpay.
And overpay. But the guys from Kiss will be in the room with you. Mm-hmm. So that is... you know, that's a plus, right?
Sure.
Okay.
They're not ancient now, but cool.
Never heard of them.
Wow. Keith would be happy to know that I'm not going to that.
Oh, God.
Because he'll be like, don't play live feeds of that.
Next week's show, we already have a plan. We're going to be talking about The Dirt. So we're giving everybody a chance to see it. I actually have not watched it yet. I'm going to watch it, but I have not watched it yet. So, and I know you've seen it.
Twice.
And so we're going to be getting into The Dirt next week. Plan is to have some kind of setup here where we can all look at it.
Sort of like a commentary kind of deal.
Yeah, kind of a commentary on it. That's the plan. Is it going to work out? I don't know.
We'll see. We'll wing it.
We'll wing it. We'll make it figure out. I will play around with the technology this week and see if we can get it going.
Oh, I saw Mike Tramp and John Corabi on Thursday, too.
Yeah, I want to see those guys play electric. Like, I don't know. The acoustic thing just... Doesn't interest me. Was it good?
It was good. I saw John play acoustic before, though, and he does a little Aerosmith. He does a little Motley Crue. He does a little Dead Daisies, a little bit of everything. And he talks, he does stories in between. So it's like storytellers kind of deal. Mike Tramp also.
Who's Mike Tramp again?
He's from White Lion.
Oh, bass player?
I think he's the guitar player.
Oh, I thought Vito Bratta was the guitar player in White Lion.
I'm sure it's been switched many times.
Vito Bratta is the man.
I did get to meet both of them, both very sweet. And it was, got some signed stuff and pictures and all that. But it was a cool show for it being unplugged. I'm glad it was, because I'm telling you what, I wasn't ready to party on Thursday after really? My, like, two. Chill. I needed a nice, mellow show is what I needed.
All right, then. Okay, guys, we're going to get into our bands tonight. We have a few to get to, and I'm going to try to play as much music as we can. I'm going to open with Lovesick, because we had Lovesick set up for last week, and we did not get to them. So we're going to crank up some Lovesick, some sick love, mother effers. But this is a great track called End Up Dead Lovesick on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. My mind is numb, my heart is tense, going crazy.
Sold my soul.
Lovesick, baby. No, that's not what they were doing. Lovesick, everybody. Very cool band. You can go to lovesickrocks.com and check out all the lovesickness for yourself. You can get down with the sickness. Ah, thank you. I'll be here all week.
Or at least for the next hour.
At least for the next hour, you know. All week, next hour, whatever. Okay, so there are these bands that were big during that that very dark period in music.
The dark ages.
Called the grunge era.
Oh, grunge.
Oh, grunge.
One of the banes of my existence.
No, I mean...
It depends.
It depends. Just, you know, it's like old people's, you know, underwear.
Oh, right. We're going to compare grunge to old people's underwear. I like it.
So first of all, let's put it out there who the Flannel Five are. And that is Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Stone Temple Pilots. That's the Flannel Five. I understand that they're all not the same. They're all a little bit different. That's kind of what makes it cool. Hello.
Yeah.
I know. And so Stone Temple Pilots wasn't grunge. I'm not saying, but they were all big at that time.
They were still part of the movement.
And I think you can find some pictures with the DeLeo brothers wearing some flannel. So just calm your little wee-wee down, okay? Because you're out of control. I'm tired of these people. You're getting out of control.
I love when people overanalyze it. It makes me laugh.
Oh, God. I mean,
I just read them. I'm like, oh, man.
We had, you know, you never know what's going to get people fired up.
And this is one of the things.
This was one of them. I mean, we put it up there and people went nuts. Now, I have to give credit where credit's due. I did not come up. I think that the title is very cute, the Flannel Five. I did not invent that. I listened to Eddie Trunk and somebody had written him a letter. It was very interesting. This is a guy that had taken over Eddie's position at the radio station where Eddie originally worked.
Okay.
And he sent him an email and said, you know, we know who the big four of thrash are. So what about the Flannel Five? And then he had something like the new metal six and something like the millennial seven or something
like
that.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. But this one caught my attention the most. Some of the bands... new metal is kind of like a bad word to some people, so I fear we wouldn't go there yet. We might do a thing.
Someday.
You know, why couldn't we do a thing on new metal?
I'm not knowledgeable enough, but I could try.
I mean...
I could research.
I'm not knowledgeable in anything. I'm just a nerd. So
I'm glad you
look crap up online and listen to it. And I get on kicks, you know, with different stuff. I get on kicks with, like, I just get addicted to listen to Eddie Trunk's thing. You could just listen. I know you're not a big YouTube fan, but you don't have to watch. It's just him talking. So you just put them on YouTube so you can,
yeah,
you know. So right now I'm on a Tom Likas. You know who Tom Likas is? I'm completely addicted to Tom Likas. If you don't know who Tom Likas is, when you get a chance, search Tom Likas on YouTube. Many of you will. A lot of you may never speak to me again after this, but I absolutely freaking love his show. But I've been on Eddie Trunk kicks, Joe Rogan kicks. I go through different people, you know what I mean? So, but Eddie is usually, I mean, he is the guy in many ways. Him and Ricky Rackman are the guys,
love that man,
for hard rock and heavy metal. The way that we think of hard rock and heavy metal, you know.
I met him. Cool dude.
So anyway, so I pay attention, and I know where the bread's buttered. I have no issues with, you know, stealing when I should have been buying. my goodness, the commercials, YouTube. You know, we have to come up with a better.
That's
system.
Why I don't like YouTube. I have to keep skipping, skip.
So, skip.
And quite frankly, I forget about it a lot of the time.
Anyways, so that is who. That's the origin of the Flannel Five. So you guys got the picture here. Do we have, before we jump in and start ranking, do we have any comments so far on tonight's show?
As far as the topic goes.
Anything. Let's give, you know, we sure. Do this thing live on Rock. By the way, I keep forgetting. Rock Rage Radio, guys. Rock Rage, you can download the app or go to rockrageradio.com. And because, man, if you guys love great rock, that's like 24/7. It's going all the time. So you can hear great music all the time. And they are nice enough to put this crazy thing on Sundays at noon. Thank you, John and Gigi. We love you guys. We're not worthy. Actually, we are. But anyways, so rockrageradio.com. Download the app. You can listen to great rock all the time. So we are live on Rock. We got Rock Rage Radio live on Facebook. And the reason we do this is because we like to talk to you guys. So what do we got there, Lil V6?
We got Billy Altman and Tim Paul. Billy Altman says hi, and that he's here. Chris Glad. Thunderwolf Dodson. I think I'm gonna. If I botch your name, I apologize. I'm bad at this. Sal Quintero, Mike Eichert, Kita Monet, Todd Kane. Hello, Todd says here from Kansas City, Missouri.
Todd.
Hutch Hutchinson. Dave Haney said the dirt was awesome. That's his view on that already. And that's all we got. Oh, Keith is watching, or was watching for a moment. Then he jumped off.
I don't know what he's doing. He told me that he wasn't going to be able to.
He might have just jumped on as it went live because it probably reminded him.
Yeah. I have him tagged and all that jazz. So anyways, guys, so we're doing this live, and we love your comments. So we'll periodically check in with the live feed. So, Lil, let's go ahead and get into our ranking here. We've got these five bands. You want to do any kind of history? You want to talk a little bit about the grunge era? How do you want to start?
We can do some history. I got some history.
I know Lil is all about she's our resident rock historian here.
I like to read.
So go ahead and give us a little bit of rundown about the whole situation with the Flannel Five.
Okay. So, I will start with Pearl Jam, American rock band formed in 1990 in Seattle, Washington, fronted by the Eddie Vedder. Formed sort of after the demise of Mother Love Bone, which was Gossard and Immense band. Their debut album was 10, released in 1991, and they are one of the key bands during the grunge movement in the 90s, and they often shunned popular music industry practices like making music videos or giving interviews. They sort of weren't there for the whole commercialized aspect of it. They were just there to make music, and they spent much of their time tearing apart their own fame. However, they did sell 32 million albums in the U.S. and 85 million worldwide. One of the most influential bands of the decade, and dubbed the most popular American rock and roll band of the 90s. Also, probably much to their dismay, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2017.
Really? Do you really think they really don't like that?
I mean,
they were freaking huge. But I can't believe
they say, you know, that's sort of part of the grunge, though.
I know that's part of the sort of whole
that's
grunge
the
thing. That's the whole part of the shtick.
But Vedder went as far as to try to make the songs less catchy just because he didn't want them to be that popular. I don't know. I feel like you're making music that you want people to like it, right? If you're big time. I don't know. That's just me. I'm not a musician, so I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think that, first of all, I don't think that they turned down any of the money. I don't think they gave any money back.
Like I always say.
I think they got a lot of checks.
Like they always say, in grunge music, I'm sure, you know, they write sappy, not sappy, but very sad, depressing lyrics, and their songs are all like, yeah, man, we don't care. But I'm sure they just go ahead and cry on their paychecks they got every week. So that's my whole thing with grunge. I don't hate it. I just don't love it. It got rid of my glam, which we all know I'm a huge fan of.
So. Well, did it really?
No, it just kind of interfered there. Right. Just kind of wedged its butt
in. I think that there is a changing of the guard. You can't rank music strictly by decades, but there is a sort of decadal thing that happens with rock and pop music. And
Billy Altman, they are grunge, so stop arguing.
And I think that there was just, it was a natural kind of music was changing. New sounds had to come out. People were doing new stuff.
It was sort of
time. And it was we can't always have the same forever and ever. Amen. I think, we've talked about this, and I won't dwell on this, but I think that the name hair metal is a derogative term meant to make fun out of that music that came out of the 80s.
The hair was this.
So in any case... So that's the sort of lowdown on the Pearl Jammers. But that wasn't the only band, right, Lil?
No, of course not. We also have Stone Temple Pilots, or STP, American rock band from San Diego, California. They were actually formed in 1989, but under the name Mighty Joe Young. I didn't know that. Originally fronted by Scott Weiland. He eventually was fired in 2013. He had sketchy stuff going on there. Also, drug problem. And then Chester Bennington took over in 2015. Right after that, and then quit in 2015. Then their debut album was Core in 1992. It was a huge commercial success. So commercially, they were one of the most successful bands of the 90s. 18 million albums in the U.S., 40 million worldwide. They separated in 2002 and started back up in 2008 for a reunion tour. They were initially rising to fame as part of the grunge movement of the 90s. But then they sort of kind of were influenced by psychedelic rock, bossa nova, classic rock. So they were called grunge impersonators for a while. So a lot of people don't consider them grunge. However, they are. A lot of problems with Scott Weiland, and unfortunately, he did die from an overdose of alcohol, pills, and cocaine on his tour bus. Also, Chester Bennington, who fronted the band for a while, committed suicide by hanging, was found dead in his home.
Is that band just like bad luck?
I think it might be.
Stone Temple Pilot curse. I love Stone Temple Pilot. Anything else on them before we move on?
They were just told that they were a ripoff of Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains. But it's just due to them having the same influences, says them. That's all I got on them.
Okay. Alice, who do you want to talk about next? Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, or Nirvana?
I got Nirvana.
Okay, hit it.
American rock band formed in Aberdeen, Washington, 1987, by lead singer Kurt Cobain and bassist Chris Novoselic. They sort of established themselves as part of the Seattle grunge scene. Their debut album was Bleach in 1989, gained unexpected worldwide success with Smells Like Teen Spirit off their second album, Nevermind. Ranked one of the greatest songs in the history of rock music, while the album Nevermind is one of the greatest albums of all time. So says all that media. Their success widely popularized alternative rock and grunge, and Cobain was dubbed the spokesman of a generation, with Nirvana being the flagship band of Generation X.
And Nirvana, if you don't know who Nirvana is,
shame on
you've been living under a rock. Who do you got next? We've got two more.
Two more. I got Soundgarden, American rock band formed in Seattle, Washington, 1984, fronted by Chris Cornell, dissolved in 97, reformed in 2010. Seminal creators of grunge, first grunge band to sign to a major label, A&M Records, in 1989, and they did not achieve commercial success until early 90s with the rest of the Flannel Five. Debut album was Ultra Mega Okay in 1988, but their biggest success was Super Unknown in 1994. Broke up in 1997 due to fighting over creative direction, returned in 2010, and unfortunately, Chris Cornell is no longer with us either.
I know. So. The grunge curse. Okay, and there's one more, right?
Alice in Chains.
Alice in Chains.
American rock band, Seattle, Washington, formed 1987, fronted by the wonderful Layne Staley. Took its name from Staley's previous group, glam metal band, Alice in Chains. Crazy. Widely associated with the grunge, but they incorporate heavy metal elements. In fact, they consider themselves to be heavy metal. Band is known for their distinct vocal style, which included the harmonized vocal between Staley and Cantrell, which I totally love their vocals. Sold over 14 million records US, 30 million records worldwide. Never officially disbanded in 1996, but they were plagued with inactivity due to Staley's substance abuse and resulted in his death in 2002.
All right, go grunge with all your deaths and everything. It's happy times, good times, suicide,
depressing
drug overdose.
Depressing music. That's what it is, guys.
I think that maybe, you know, I think that there's something like about where people kind of start living out their own, they believe their own press. And I kind of wonder if that's kind of, I mean, if you look at the 80s bands with all the partying and everything, they really lived up to that. And these bands with all their
anti-flannel
everything, they kind of lived up to it as well.
Sure did.
Crazy
so
stuff.
Depressing. And you know what? Some of this stuff's really good, though.
Yes. And we're going to come back and start ranking these MFers here in a minute. But before we get into that, I want to play you guys a band that I just heard for the first time today. They're called Diesel Beast. And it's too bad Keith isn't on here. We'll dedicate this to Diesel, Keith's dog.
Oh.
So Diesel Beast of the Crawl on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. We'll be right back. The Crawl by Diesel Beast.
Diesel Beast.
Like you want to say it like that. Diesel Beast, The Crawl. And let me give you the info on those guys. DieselBeastBand.com. Check them out. Just sick rock. Speaking of sick, we opened with Love Sick, and that was Diesel Beast. We've got Lou Lombardi's Strange Love and then Winter's Descent as well coming up. So stick around. We've got a lot of great music for you. So now let's talk about our ranking here. So we have to rank them, and we're going to go like five up to one. Now, before we do that, we ran a post on Facebook.
The Facebook.
And asked you guys, hey, what do you think? You know, what is out of the Flannel Five? We asked what your number one pick was. So we weren't going to ask you guys to actually like do all the work of like ranking, but just kind of give you. And I'm going to throw a few of them. Billy Altman, Alice in Chains, because they were the ones who started grunge. And that started a whole bunch of arguments. Everybody jumped in and wanted to beat up Billy Altman. Billy, we love you, buddy. I love you. I don't care. Sure, if you want to say that's the band that started, go for it. So it seemed a bit all over the place. A lot for Alice in Chains, though. It seemed like, and I can't say that that is the truth, some kind of objective truth. However, I just think that our fans tend to like a lot of Alice in Chains.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Jay Wiley says the Screaming Trees. And sorry, Jay, that wasn't a...
That's not an option, bro.
That's not an option. But Jay, I love Jay. Jay's got a great band as well. He's a great singer.
I know Jay.
So we got a lot of votes for Alice in Chains and some for Soundgarden. I don't see anybody on here who said Pearl Jam or Nirvana. So that's interesting. So speaking of that, Lily, what is your number five?
My number five is going to be Pearl Jam. And the reason being, I just cannot stand listening to Eddie Vedder sing. And I know people are going to shit on me for that, but I just can't stand it. It actually hurts my ears to listen to that man sing.
He would be at the bottom. They would be at the bottom of my list too. That was one of those bands. Like I like Alive started on the radio and I go, oh, cool. And then the singing would start and I go, oh, really?
It's just
really that's what you're doing for vocals, huh? Okay. You know, the music sounds good. Yeah, it's just one of those bands, like, you know, if I was judging a battle of the bands and those guys would have played, I'd have been like, you guys are great, but you need to get a new singer.
You need to tweak that. Just a little.
Yeah, I this is one of those, you know, Lily and I are totally on the same page with that. I just not a big Eddie Vedder fan. So, Lil, what you got? Anything else we need to say about that?
I think that just pretty much
says pretty much covers it. And what is your number four?
My number four is Nirvana. I had a huge crush on Kurt Cobain when I was like 13.
Wow. Things we did not know about Lily.
Yes, normally you wouldn't. I don't like blondes anymore. However, I was also 13 and stupid. Anyway, Nirvana, wow. I sort of gets under my skin because they're kind of the ones that started this whole thing, in my opinion. Billy, they're sort of the ones that started this whole thing, and I just can't get it. Like, there's a couple songs they have that I like, but that's maybe like three songs, and I just can't get into the whole I'm a spokesperson of a generation, yet I hate everybody sort of thing with Kurt Cobain, what he used to do. Oh, and he was murdered. Sorry, I had to throw that out there.
Hate, not a murdered guy. Shame on you.
Well,
I honestly, the rest of the bands on the list, I like them all. I probably, though, would put Nirvana just personally at number four, just for my personal thing, for this kind of the same reasons that you did, because I was really into bands like Queensryche and Extreme.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then then Kurt Cobain happened. And when I first heard Nirvana, I really thought they were just terrible. I thought, like, what the hell is this? Like, this is awful. Like, There's like nothing. But I was giving guitar lessons at the time. And a lot of kids, Jared Grease, who watches, was one of my students. And Jared, you were one of the people that really turned me on to Nirvana, because you brought in Nirvana and you wanted to learn some of the songs. And as I started to teach the songs, I went like, wow, this guy is a songwriter. Like, he's a songwriter. Like, this guy is like up there with like the great songwriters like of all time. He's up there with Lennon, McCartney, and Paul Simon, and the whole lot of those guys. And I began, and then when I learned the guitar parts and everything, I realized, oh, there's a lot. It's deceptive. There's a lot more going on than you realize. It sounds a little more simple than it really is. Also, his ear for melody and where he would go melodically with things was just very unusual and fun and different and fresh. And I ended up growing to like really kind of really dig them. Although there were bands of that era, just because of my pedigree and the music that I kind of gravitate towards, that I liked better as a band. But I ultimately came to really like, I ultimately come to really enjoy them. And I do play, I was telling Lily on the break, I do play in a Nirvana tribute act. And it's fun. It's not the most challenging, you know, guitar music in it. But to play music like that and to have people really get into it and have a really good time with it and to sort of kind of relive that a little, that era a little bit, I will admit that it's a good time. But that is sort of like, Lily and I think we're so far, we're going to be on the same page pretty much with this whole thing. But that's kind of where I am as well. Let's do number three and then we'll play another song.
Okay. My number three is actually going to be Stone Temple Pilots. I think Scott Weiland was a fantastic performer, a great singer. So it was sort of hard for me to rank the last three on here, but this is where they're going to go for me, because the other two just were a little better for me. This is the one I've seen twice with Scott Weiland. I saw at X Fest in 1999, and I saw him, or STP, at what was that place called? Chevy Amphitheater in Station Square. I saw them there.
That's where I saw
within the last 10 years. Okay. I saw them there, and I can't remember what year it is. But I loved. I did love watching them perform. So that's where they're going to rank for me on there.
The 3-2-1 on this for me could kind of be interchangeable. Depending on what day of the week you ask me, I might rank Stone Temple Pilots as my number one, just because I love the fact that they sounded very contemporary, but yet they had a definite foot in the Led Zeppelin, Doors, Black Sabbath thing. They had a foot in, they were firmly rooted in that. Whereas I felt like the rest of the bands were rooted a little bit more in punk rock and alternative. It was funny when people called it grunge, but quite frankly, if you listened to college radio in the 80s, that's what you heard. It was this music. This is college rock. It just became mainstream.
Grunge.
Yeah, they called it grunge. But it was just the music that you heard on, that didn't get played on the commercial radio stations. The college stations played it. And I remember before that music broke, going to bars in college and parties and stuff like that, and people playing these kind of like underground or college rock band. REM was a college rock band.
I don't like them either, though.
Yeah, I didn't think you would, but that's a good, great example of how like it. And I think what happened was, my sort of theory on this, before we go to play the next song, is that the people that liked college rock became the A&R people. They got jobs. You know, they graduated college in the early 80s. They got jobs in the industry, and they just promoted the music that they liked. That's why all these bands had this big explosion, because you had A&R people, the people from the 70s, 60s and 70s A&R guys, they were gone. They were retired. They were in other industries, because you don't last long. That's a very, the industry is really tough. And if you sign a band and they tank, you're fired.
Bye.
And you're probably not going to get back into the industry. You're like, goodbye. good luck, good riddance. You're out.
Peace out.
So these guys, you know, the industry brought in the people that the sounds that they grew up listening to on college radio. I think that was another reason for the emergence and the popularity of hip hop really kind of breaking big in the 90s as well. It's just that sort of not only just changing of the musical guard, but changing of the guard within the actual music business. So a little bit of insight there on that for you. This is Lou Lombardi, Strange Love, The Killing on the Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus. Lombardi's Strange Love there, guys, with The Killing. And you can go to lulombardimusic.com and just some free downloads and stuff there. So you can check that out. Lily and I were talking during the song about some movies and music. We were the subject came up of Kiss meets the Phantom of the Park.
Awful.
And Slavia and Rez, if you look at the watch the movie, the guy who Ace was too wasted. He never showed up, and it's a black dude playing Ace. And he doesn't, they don't get, they, so they like didn't give him a lot of lines. He's like, yeah, uh-huh. You know, like,
I have to go and rewatch like it. Yeah, so
he doesn't say a lot of lines. And I think that was Ace's, oh crap. There's music playing. I gotta go back. I think it's Ace's pro, was like kind of Ace protesting.
Against it.
Against, against them.
Against this monstrosity.
Yeah, what the hell are you guys making me do?
Why?
Yeah, he was not all about it. He just wanted to be in a rock band and play guitar. And
the top two boys want to market as much as they can.
Well, you know, what can you do? I mean, that's, you know, it's hard to, I don't want to say, it's kind of hard to argue with that amount of success. I don't know. We could do a show on Kiss.
We could do a show with Kiss merch.
We'll have to wait. We'll have to do it like one of these nights when Keith can't make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he won't come
he's
on.
He's definitely not gonna do that show with us. But in any case, so speaking of Kiss, let's get the last. So we're ranking the Flannel Five. So who is at number five?
Pearl Jam.
Who is number four?
Nirvana.
Who's number three?
STP.
Okay, who's your number two?
Number two is Soundgarden.
Soundgarden.
And let me tell you, that was hard for me to choose between the two because I really do love Soundgarden. It is sort of like on the sadder stuff that I don't typically like, but I just love Chris Cornell's voice, so that's why I picked them.
I was blown away when I saw the video to Outshined on MTV. I was like, what the hell is this? It was heavy and big and just kind of like a precursor almost to like Doom. Like it's this slow, sludgy kind of song with this super heavy.
It's a good word.
And the band really grooves. You know, it's one thing to be super heavy and kind of doing that sludgy kind of thing. But when you have when you've got a rhythm section that can really groove and really be in the pocket, it just really kind of moved. And that man's voice, just unfreaking real. Just
super
one of the most amazing.
No
yeah, I just like one of. I mean, he's up in there with the great rock singers of all time. I mean, I would put him up right up there with the Robert Plants and the Axl Roses and the Rob Halfords and all those guys. He's in that league. He's that kind of singer. And I think out of all of these bands, as much as I love Scott Weiland and as much as I love Layne Staley, Chris Cornell is like head and shoulders above all those guys. He just is that classic, amazing, high tenor, belted out rock singer that we all love, that, you know, that made rock great since the, you know, since the beginning, since the Sabbaths and the Led Zeppelins and the Deep Purples. I mean, he's like a Ian Gillan, only with his own vibe, whatever you want to call it, vibe, style.
I like the vibe.
Niche. So number one is
Alice in Chains.
Now, why do you love Alice in Chains so much?
I got a couple reasons.
And do you know the story of how they got that name?
Yeah, because that used to be Layne Staley's glam metal band name, because he was in a glam metal band first,
and that was his stage name.
No, that was the name of the band.
Name of the band.
And hence the reason I like them best out of all of them. They're the least grungy. Layne Staley had a very glam look. And his voice was phenomenal with Cantrell's, which is why they're my number one.
Those guys, him and Jerry Cantrell, had like amazing harmonies.
Yes,
they created a very unique sound. That is one of all these bands have something that really kind of stands out. That like you go like, wow, that's different. That's really cool. And for me, Pearl Jam, it's the interplay between the two guitar players. With Stone Temple Pilots, it's that root in the classic rock thing. You know, that's kind of what sets them apart. With Nirvana, it's the songwriting. It's just this unbelievable, you know, different level songwriting. With Soundgarden, it's Chris Cornell. And I got to give props to Kim Thayil, who's a very interesting guitar player. Very, very different. Just, you know, kind of a Jimmy Page kind of guitar player with alternate tunings and the droney things and stuff. And with Alice in Chains, it's the heaviness with this really different harmony. So the way they would harmonize was very, very different. If you you guys should check out Rick Beato's YouTube channel. He has a series called What Makes This Song Great, and he has a great video on Alice in Chains, and he has a great video on Nirvana. I'm not sure if he talked about the other bands or not, but he has great videos on those two bands where he really dissects, you know, all the parts and exactly what they're doing. And when you dig deep into it, you realize there's a lot more going on than just guys strung out on heroin, tuned down and trying to, you know, sound depressed. There's actually some really cool music things happening with that. And with Alice in Chains, again, you know, that's their sort of signature thing, is these really amazing. And of course they have great songs as well, but that's really, I kind of think really, when you hear those guys kicking in with those vocals, it's like nothing else. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no other band, even like,
it sounds like
rock band, even that really does really what they do at all. There's traditional bands with the kind of harmony thing. You know, you think back on, like, we go way back to, like, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, or the Eagles, really known for, well, Van Halen with the, you know, great harmonies and stuff like that. But the way these guys did it was just different. And the music is so heavy. That's kind of the sort of interesting, it's this juxtaposition between these, like, really interesting harmonies and these, like, really, like, heavy guitar parts that just kind of, like, whoa, you know, I didn't expect that. So, let's go ahead and run them down top to bottom. I'm bottom to top.
We have Pearl Jam, number 5. Number 4 is Nirvana. Number 3 is Stone Temple Pilots. Number 2 is Soundgarden. And number 1 is Alice in Chains.
Alice in Chains. Let's run some shout outs down to some folks that chimed in with us online. Chris Ruane really loves Soundgarden. Chris Cartages. Got to go with Alice in Chains. Billy Altman says Alice in Chains. Who else we got on here? We've got Mike Pierrock, Alice in Chains, Adam Thomas, Soundgarden, Tim Johnson, String the Pot a Bit, Green River, To Mudhoney, and Mother Love Bone. Would the Flannel Five be relevant otherwise? Well, great point, Tim, but that's not the topic. But we do. We love stealing. We love String the Pot. So, excuse me, Chad Squires, I could write an article on this question. I told him to please do, and we would read it.
I hope he does.
Jay Constable says, Alice in Chains. I wonder if Jay Constable is actually Constable.
He probably is.
That would be interesting. Jason Wargo, Alice in Chains. Bobby Lamond, The Wrong One Lived.
We never got an answer from him.
Yeah, he hasn't replied to that. Jason Wargo says, in order, Alice in Chains, STP, Soundgarden, Nirvana, and PJ.
That's like my Pearl list Jam. Backwards.
Well, that is his list. I think it's what he was doing. He just put the number 1 at the top because he said earlier that he liked Alice in Chains. Brian Schmidt, Soundgarden and Alice in Chains by a landslide. Well, you got to pick one. You can't do that. Jared Grease, they're all so different from each other. For me, I'd put out Soundgarden and Pearl Jam at the top. Dig their writing, vocals, musicianship, though. I saw STP last summer, and Dean DeLeo had some of the best tone I've ever seen live. No joke. Jay Wiley, okay, we said what Jay said. He liked the Screaming Trees.
Not an option.
Chris Sullivan, there is no better here. It's like asking if chocolate cake is better than...
You still have to pick.
Filet mignon.
I make Lou pick.
No, you had to pick. You got to pick. Sorry, Chris. You're disqualified. Okay, Chris Sullivan, you missed the point. STP wasn't even Seattle. We're not talking about... There was no mention of Seattle in the topic, so... I guess this is Chris Botzer's.
Yeah, Staley is greater than Cornell, greater than Weiland, greater than Cobain, greater than Vetter, which is my list.
Okay. Lily really hit it with everybody. Paul Lowe Jr., Nirvana hands down. He's the first one who went Nirvana. Mike Boderman, Nirvana is my least favorite, but I love them all. Bill Damiano.
Damiano.
I can't even.
Okay.
You have to, Bill.
You have to even.
Daniel Aragon, Soundgarden, and then Alice in Chains.
It's hard for me, too.
It's hard. Gero Von Den, Alice in Chains, no contest. Denise Reed, Alice in Chains, amazing. Dan White, Lane Staley is my second favorite vocalist behind Ronnie James Dio.
Ronnie is not on the list, so stop
Ronnie's
it.
Not on the list. Eric Corbin says Andrew Wood.
I don't know.
Am
who
I
that
missing
is.
Something? Fran Crasher says Alice in Chains and STP for obvious reasons. Billy Altman, Soundgarden ain't grunge.
Stop it. And that's where the fight started.
Oh, here comes more.
And Neil Young.
Chris Thunder,
grunge.
Wolf Boss, and Neil Young started grunge. And
I started grunge.
That was not, Chris, I love you, but that was not the question or the topic. Who started grunge was not. We just picked the Flannel Five, and we ranked the Flannel Five, and I asked who you guys were with. Anywho's, it's next week. You want to make sure you come and check it out, because we're going to
be prepared
discussing the dirt.
I got lots of things to say.
I'm sure you do.
Lots. Because so, I'll watch it one more time before we come back. So
I want to say that I love the song, The Dirt. I think it's a very good cool song. I think it's a great song.
It's good. The whole soundtrack's great, except for one song.
You don't like a Virgin?
Okay, look. If you're going to be Motley Crue and cover a song, does it have to be a pop song? Did it have to be a freaking Madonna? We just covered this.
Madonna.
No. Actually, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it.
I didn't. I feel I'm exactly the same way. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. What it made me think was.
There are worse songs.
No, what it made me think was Motley Crue should do an entire album.
Of all pop.
Of 80s pop songs done their way. I think it would be. I know it would be cheesy, but I like when bands do fun things like
that. I kind
of
like that one.
Like, I would love to hear bands like get together and like cover each other's songs or things like that. Like, I think it would be fun to hear Van Halen with both Sammy and Dave, and Dave sing Sammy songs and Sammy sing Dave's song. You know, just silly stuff like that. I just think that those kind of things is a kind of one-off thing can be like a good time for the fans.
When I heard it, it literally was not the worst thing I heard ever. Like, everybody was freaking out about it.
But yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Like you said, the only problem I had is that if they're going to cover a song, why did it have to be a pop song? But it sounded fine. It was great. I mean, you know, it wasn't bad.
Okay.
I'd rather they cover a rock song.
Okay. Then let me ask you this, because you are a Motley Crue connoisseur. You're a Motley Crue super fan. So
it's a problem.
If Motley Crue was going to, Motley Crue calls you up and says, Lily, you're our biggest fan.
No.
We respect your opinion because you're on Rock Ridge Radio and we love your show. We're going to cover a song. Can you make a recommendation?
Dream On.
But that's like a little cliche, like everybody has.
It is, but I want to hear them do it.
Okay.
It's absolutely cliche.
Okay.
All right. Actually, or Toys in the Attic. I'd be cool with that. Anything Aerosmith? Do you guys want to do that?
So, might be fun is for Motley Crue to do an album of Aerosmith covers.
I would be so okay with that.
That'd be a fun time.
And then I would not leave my house for like 3 days.
Wow. All right. And boom goes.
We don't need to talk about why.
So we're going to go over to the private area for a few minutes. We're going to get private. We're going to talk about your privates.
Oh, God.
So you want to go to, if you want to participate in that, go to LouLombardiRocks.com. That is LouLombardiRocks.com. And you don't even need your email address or anything. Just jump in there. Come on over. We're going to be partying for a little bit with a few people, kind of discussing the show a little bit more. Some other things that, and telling the real dirty jokes that we can't say on the radio. So, anyways, guys, you've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Our website is LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. Check back often. My host here, Lily V6. Lily, you have a show on Rock Rage Radio. What's your show again?
I do. It's Hot Licks with Lily 6, Thursday night, 6 p.m. Eastern on Rock Rage Radio. Download the app or stream it right on the website.
And a special shout out to our friends at Rock Rage Radio for running this every Sunday. We do really appreciate it and allowing us to go live on their Facebook Live channel. It has brought a lot of new fans to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, and we love each and every one of you. Thank you, John and Gigi, but rockrageradio.com and get the app. Okay, guys? Well, if
it's
you'd
free.
Like, it's totally free. And if you'd like to party with us here on the after show, if you'd like access to some exclusive music and all kind of cool stuff that you can, and hang out with a cool group of people. There's some great folks hanging out there.
I mean, I'm here.
Go to lulombardirocks.com. Like I said, we don't even need an email address. You just jump in there, click the enter thing, and you will be taken right to the good times. All right, guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us tonight. I want to give a quick shout out to the bands real quick that we played. We had Lovesick, Diesel Beast, Lou Lombardi, Strange Love, and we're going to wrap up the show with Winter's Descent. Crash and Burn, Winter's Descent on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. Catch you next week, guys.